Is this live?
Let's do it.
Get bored, man.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
get on him all.
Real good.
Lift the bang, bro.
Yes, you know me.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. This particular show we like to call hashtag SmackMyPicksUp. We'll be here to do UFC 232, Jones versus Gustafson 2, coming at us live and direct on December 29th, 2018, from Paradise, Nevada. Hashtag wait a second. Record scratch. That's correct, ladies and gentlemen. Not being brought to us at Paradise, Nevada, from Forum in Inglewood. We are going to talk about this whole John Jones debacle in great length. Of course, this is hashtag SmackMyPicksUp, brought to you by the Amp Radio Network. But I think, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of this, before we get into our picks, we do have to bring you up to date on the comings and goings that have happened this weekend leading up to, of course, the UFC's last big pay-per-view of the year. Of course, we know the New Year's Eve card as always. So let's get into these intros. Let's bring her in deep from the heart of North Carolina. It's everybody's favorite, Cam from North Carolina.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. What's going on?
What is happening, Pam?
I am glad that I am not, that I canceled my trip to Vegas. You know, this is my annual trip to Vegas at this time of the year.
Correct.
I am so glad I did not go.
But let's go ahead and bring in the boss man himself.
Hey, DJ! Yes, yes, yes.
It's Tony time, bitches!
That is not me, by the way. That's Marco coughing. That is not me. I do want to say this, though. Listen, I'm so proud, and we didn't get to do our Christmas show. I hope we get to do a New Year show before the year ends. But I do want to say this. Listen, my friend Proteus and I started this almost 3 years ago. Pam joined us very quickly. So did Marco. I'm proud to say, guys, this year, we've put up over 250 shows. 250 shows we put up. So not only are we proud to be a part of it, but with Marco constantly asking for reviews, we have 5-star reviews on iTunes. I am so proud to be a part of this, proud to be a part of your friends, you guys. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone's doing as many shows as we do, but 250 shows, guys, in 2018. That's incredible, guys. So I want to thank each and every one of you guys.
Absolutely. I mean, yay. It's incredible what we've been able to do in 3 years, Tony. I mean, from the inception of the show to where it is now, you know, in the mid parts of this particular experience, you know, Proteus's Primetime coming out, and you read all those shows as well. So I just want to say congratulations to you. You've been doing a great job this whole time. But this is not a dick-sucking show. We have to bring in the other hosts of the show from the heart of Texas. And also on Tony's line, it's Marco from Waco, brother.
Deep on the heart of Texas.
Yeah. Last time of the year.
I wanted my dick sucked.
Marco from Waco, we're talking about dick sucking? What the hell is going on here, man?
Busty!
I'm just talking about that like this. Wrong with you people?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Obviously something, Marco. Obviously something. That's why we're still around doing this. Welcome to the show, Marco. Glad to have you here. Let me try and break it down. And anybody, you know, chime in if I'm getting any facts wrong. UFC 232 was supposed to go down in Nevada, Las Vegas, well, Paradise, Las Vegas, or Paradise, Nevada. All of a sudden, we know we're hearing it's going to be a short week because of Christmas. There's going to be a press conference on Thursday, yada, yada, yada. We hear John Jones doesn't want to do VADA testing. Then, you know, a couple days pass, and then we get this marker come up that we've had John Jones pop yet again in Nevada for, you know, Yeah, minuscule amount of a banned substance. We hear then that the UFC is going to pick up and move the whole show from Nevada to California. However, they're going to apparently leave all of the media stuff in Nevada, where it's cheaper for them to do that, and have all the they already have all the fighters there, and then move the fight and the press conference to California. Okay, I think perhaps I have brought you guys up to speed. So, John Jones again in Nevada, pre-fight test, pops for the same substance that he has popped in July of 2017, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. DJ Tony, let's start with you. I know this is a weird show, ladies and gentlemen, but bear with us. We need to talk about this controversy because DJ Tony is bubbling at the seams here. And Tony, this is not a new subject to us. You know, when USADA came in, and we've said this plenty of times on this particular program, you were very, very, you expressed caution when our excitement, my excitement especially, having USADA come into the UFC. So Tony, why don't you start us off here, because you have some thoughts about not only USADA but also. Joe Rogan had Jeff Nowinski, and if you're not familiar with who Jeff Nowinski is, he is a UFC employee, first of all. And Tony, I'm sure you'll give us his particular status in the company. Yeah. You'll give us his status in the company. But he was also part of USADA, and that's why the UFC brought Jeff Nowinski over in the first place. So, DJ Tony, give us your opening statements.
Oh, boy, this is going to take a bit, so I'll try to be as brief as I can because I was blowing up.
If you can,
and you're right,
we only have
Proteus.
An hour.
Yeah, and you're right, Proteus. Oh, I am bubbling up because I just saw Kat Zingano's latest workout photo.
Oh. All right.
Sorry. All right. See, now we're in big trouble. All right, so let me give you what I know about Jeff Nowinski because I know quite a bit. Obviously, he's from the Bay Area, so I know that I literally met him once when he was just joined the UFC, and I thought he worked for USADA. He said on Joe Rogan, and he's never worked for USADA, so that's fine. He worked for the FDA. Somehow
right.
He was involved he was basically supposed to do a tax something on Balco, and somehow that became something else. I do know one thing about Jeff Nowinski. I do have to say, I am a fan of Jeff Nowinski, Dirk Nowinski, but I am a fan of Nowinski. I got nothing there. We'll add the crickets later. Here's the thing, and it's no knock on Nowinski. And I know that Marco has something to say because I heard him on Junkie, and I know that he abides to the letter of the law. Bottom line is this, guys. They've known about this for a couple weeks. He said that on Joe Rogan. Another thing is, at least a couple weeks, at least the early part of December. We might want to mute Pam right now. The other thing is, we know for a fact, guys, we know for a fact that John Jones said this, quote, unquote, "I've never taken anything intentionally to enhance myself." What are dick pills? Are dick pills not to enhance yourself? What about cocaine? Exactly.
Wow.
Cocaine enhances. Guys, they used to bust people on the Tour de France for taking cocaine. I don't know what's going on, guys. I do know there's a lot of gray in this and a lot of things that are funny. Here's another thing that I will say, Proteus, and I know we have to move quickly. But I'm sorry, when you have the head of athlete health and performance for the UFC, they hired him because he's supposed to be a what? An expert.
Right.
Expert in the field, expert on doping. He said more than 12 times on the Joe Rogan Experience, "I am not an expert." However, on a pre-fight press conference today, Proteus, Dana White said, "I don't know. You got to ask Nowinski." So what is he? Is he not an expert or is he an expert?
Again.
Apparently not. So I'm going to move on because I can be on this subject forever, Proteus. So take over, please.
Okay. So listen. Marco, like DJ Tony just said, you have some opinions on this. And I think, you know, we have to take with a grain of salt, Marco, we have to take into account that Joe Rogan and Jeff Nowinski are at this particular point in time UFC employees. And we have to take into account that Joe Rogan pretty much has the biggest podcast in the world. So you would want to, if you're the UFC, take advantage of any kind of media advantage that you can take. Marco, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, DJ Tony is not a big fan that Jeff Novinsky is coming out saying he's not an expert. And maybe just give us a breakdown of your thoughts of, you know, I broke down what happened this week. And just give us your thoughts on what you think about, you know, where we're at right now and the state of affairs, whether you think John Jones and his, you know, kind of steroid use or not steroid use is a bigger story than the whole damn fucking pay-per-view right now.
The story is a story. It's been all over the ESPN and all over the place. So, like, let's take it with a grain of salt and freaking cut it up with 50 million pieces into a picogram or whatever, you know. Nowinski is not an expert on the science, but he's an expert on the process, or the process of anti-doping. So that's why they hired him. Now, we're missing some facts in here. Yeah, John Jones, this test possible for this shit. However, and this is where the caveat comes out, SARA and Andy Foster, the head of the California State Athletic Commission, went to the freaking director of the Salt Lake City Lab, you know, that is actually affiliated with WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association. And this guy, the director, went to bed with his reputation on the line. He's the utmost authority, scientist, chemistry on doping in the planet. And said, this is not for new injection. This is a pulsating residual effect from the freaking shit that he took 18 months ago. I am not a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a chemist. But this motherfucker have a PhD on this shit, and he's the director of the Salt Lake City freaking lab, the utmost freaking lab of anti-doping in the planet, a guy that doesn't give two shits about John Jones, mind you, you know, because he does freaking worldwide athletes on the Olympics, you know, he will freaking take everybody under the bus is a freaking doping, and this guy is telling me, this guy that is supposed to be the expert of all experts, you know, like, it's not from the injection, I'm going to take pause and freaking listen. And then, Andy Foster and Christian Mizzouli, the head of the ABC commission that was today on freaking Luke Thomas, and Andy Foster that was on Monday on Luke Thomas talking with R.J. Clifford, they say they look at the evidence. They look at all what the experts told them. They retested freaking John Jones and he came out clean. And they said, hey, I'm taking at face value what the experts are telling me. We're going to last against. I weren't allowed to fight. Andy Foster, Missouri, California State Commission going to say no. And then this whole thing could be forgotten about, you know? And they would let Nevada suspend. Even Nevada didn't want to take the case because they also look at the freaking paperwork and say, we don't have time to deal with this. And California is jurisdiction. So they're going to just blame the USC on this one. Everybody either got their health authority or we just have to take it at face value for what they're telling us. Because third parties that got no vested interest of this freaking thing, I'm talking about the California State Athletic Commission with Andy Foster, that got a very good reputation, you know, that he has to uphold on the line. Everybody loves Andy Foster. Everybody freaking respects him. This guy in Salt Lake City, the director of the freaking Salt Lake City Labs, that got no vested interest on this whole thing, he doesn't get paid by the USC, he doesn't get paid by USADA, he got nothing to do with any of these people, he's going to bet for this freaking guy, John Jones. If you're telling me there is a fucking conspiracy, you know, I got a bridge to fucking sell you. Now, the whole situation sucks. They moved the thing to freaking L.A. They screw the freaking fans, and that is the part that really sucks about it. But if you present me with this evidence and you take it to court, John Jones will get out of it. And that is the thing that pissed me off, that people jump to hooks at the USC, John Jones. You guys know how I feel about what John Jones tested positive. I want to throw the motherfucker off a cliff and forget about him. You know how I feel about USADA. I don't think USADA should be the freaking entity to process this freaking test. They should just process the test and give it to the commission to freaking adjudicate. But when everybody on this case is freaking utilizing some discretion, and the force utilizing discretion, USADA utilizing discretion, the USC utilizing discretion, freaking the Salt Lake City Lab utilizing discretion to make sure that they're getting it right. If everybody's lying, then believe me, the freaking consequences will be catastrophic for everybody involved in the case that are going for Bedford John Jones. I don't see anybody want to fucking put their reputation on the line just for one guy. They haven't done it for other people before. Why are they going to do it for John Jones? John Jones is big, but he's not that fucking important, dude. So I want to take it for face value. We're going to have a fight this weekend. It sucks that it has to happen. It brings the conversation on the table. A lot of things are going to have to change with USADA now that this is a precedent, because it's a precedent now. Frank Mir have a fucking point, you know, but that's another conversation for another day. But let's freaking sit down, relax. Yeah, there is points to criticize, but also let's get faced with what the facts really are.
Okay, Pam, so let's go to you, because as you said, you know, this is your usual Vegas trip, and you decided to cancel it. And you said to me just now, earlier on, that you're glad you canceled it. So let's throw the floor to you, and you go ahead and feel free to weigh in on this particular subject.
Well, you know, the way that I found out was because one of my friends who we actually meet up in Vegas, a bunch of us get together, and we meet up in Vegas, and she's a big Cyborg fan. And she actually messaged me before it came out on Twitter, and she was telling me that the fight had been moved to Inglewood. And I said, like, up to no good. I thought she was messing. And she said, no, girl, she said, they canceled the fight. She says, it's in California now, not in Las Vegas. And I was like, what? And then I got on Twitter, and I started looking. Well, what has me amazed is that from what I was catching up on is a lot of the fighters didn't even know that it had been moved. They found out via Twitter also. And, you know, you're reading all these stories about these people that were coming in from one guy was coming from South Africa, had everything, and he wasn't even contacted that his tickets were invalid. And now they're saying, you know, well, what we'll give you first dibs. Well, or priority, you know, ticket holders, you know, if you had old tickets, you have priority.
Sure.
Well, how is that? Yeah. How?
Yeah, right.
I mean, do you say, okay, I have a ticket. They can't keep track of that stuff, especially when tickets went on sale Wednesday. They don't know that you already bought a ticket, you know, from Ticketmaster in, you know, wherever. So I'm so glad that I didn't go, because I don't know what I would have done if I would have gotten there and then found out a day ahead, you know, a day later, that fight's not even here, you know. And then so, because as it is, it's expensive to go to Vegas. So then you're tacking on another 5 hours to Inglewood. I'm not sure, you know, drive, whatever. But then you're tacking on like maybe another $1,000. These people are getting their ticket refunded, but, you know, 7 to 10 days later, well, that doesn't help you when you need a new ticket, like right now, you know? So, I just, truth be told, I'm not watching the fight. Normally, you know, I watch all the pay-per-views. I told Paul, I watched the fight pass. I said, but I'm not watching the pay-per-view, even though my girl is fighting. You know, my most favorite fighter is fighting, and I'm not going to watch it.
Okay, well, and again, that's what I've been saying for years on this show. Vote with your dollars, man. If you don't want to participate in this debacle, I appreciate that 100%. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. And as I mentioned earlier on, I think, you know, when I started Proteus's primetime show, that this is the kind of thing that I wanted to highlight. I wanted to keep this kind of news in our listeners' ears. You know, what's going on with USADA? What's going on with fighter rights? What's going on with the clash between fighter rights and the UFC? All of this is coming to a head right now. I think Danny Austin said it right on Twitter this week when he said, no employee should have to find out 5 days before anything, whether it be a title fight, whether it be a regular fight, whether it be a job that you have in an office that all of a sudden 5 days before you are taking the job moves out of the fucking city that you're in. Look, yes, the UFC is paying for these guys to get to Las Vegas, and yes, they're probably going to pay for these guys to get to California. So that's not something that they have to remember. Again, as DJ Tony points out, They are not employees of the UFC. They are contractors at this particular time. So something has to change in the UFC for something like this to not happen ever again. Having said that, this is something that has never happened before. So it is a great way to sell pay-per-views, to get interest in something that is moving from one network that no one could find to the biggest network that everyone has on basic cable in the United States of America. And guess what? They're selling a streaming program as well that you can also buy. When DJ Tony and I started talking about this at the beginning of the week, I said, firstly and foremostly, DJ Tony, this is an excellent promotional tool by the UFC. If you look at the embedded episode where Lord Dana's thoughts to Alexander Gustafsson, this is episode 3, by the way, when Alexander Gustafsson was on a beautiful helicopter trip and then had to come back to ground and realize that he was fighting in California and would lose a gigantic chunk of his particular pay-per-view purse. That's right. There was no income tax in the state of Nevada. However, there is a 9% tax in the state of California. So every single person has now losing 9% of their wages. Thank you very much,
boo,
UFC.
California, boo.
Exactly. Now, let's just move on real quickly to the fact that California took this on after Nevada said no way. Now, every single test that John Jones has had where he has popped, he has been in Nevada. Seems a little strange to me as well. Just going to say, every single time that this particular effect in his testing has come up, it has come up in Nevada. It has come up in the tests that Nevada are responsible for. If I'm not correct, please somebody correct me. Okay. It was earlier on in December, right? So that was USADA. But if I'm correct, it's just urine, right, Marco? Is it just urine? It's not blood.
In the last 6 months, he has got 8 different tests. So he has got basically one test each month. And so that is coincide with the time that he was still under the jurisdiction of California, but they were still adjudicating his suspension. So that is why California was still involved, because they were still, part of this testing pool for his past freaking transgression. He was finally
July of 2017, it was California. So I'm wrong. My apologies.
And it was in July 2017, it was California, and it continues to be California until they adjudicated suspension.
So
that was a few months ago. Yeah.
Okay, so and that's why they're still in. That's why they were willing to license him. Okay, and this makes more sense now. So the fact that California was involved in the testing, and California has also said that they would like to take the testing out of USADA's hands, Marco, and move it into their own hands, that kind of makes sense to me. Okay, all right. So we've covered the controversy. We've given our thoughts. Look, I've given my thoughts on John Jones before. Is he cheating? I don't know. If he is, no one can prove it. So I don't know where we go from here, guys. It seems like Daniel Cormier has coming out attacking John Jones. It seems like we're building that fight. If it's going to happen, we seem like we have a foil for Daniel Cormier and the fact that Gustafsson's a clean fighter. If Jones loses to Gustafsson. Marco, what do you think about? I mean, it seems like we're really thinking ahead here, right? I mean, the controversy really does seem to be producing more media. Is that not a fact?
On the fight business, controversy and drama sells. Every single major fight that ever been in the history of combat sports, boxing and MMA, has been because of controversy. If it was Floyd Mayweather beating, his girlfriend up and then going to jail and then making us wait forever for the money packet fly, yeah, controversy sells. But the freaking Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov, and the Dolly, controversy sells. John Jones, Daniel Cormier, pushing each other on the MGM Grand, controversy sells. It's not a common story. Mike Tyson wants to eat your babies. Controversy sells, man. It's the nature of combat sports. And when you promote a fight, what is the best way to promote a fight? By creating and generating a fight. And then after all the drama is gone and all the storyline comes out, you finish it on the freaking fight itself, on the freaking octagon or the ring or whatever. So it's no surprise, man. It is no surprise whatsoever. And they're going to make way more money this weekend than they want to make way before all this controversy happened, because all this promotion, whether it's bad publicity or good publicity, there is no such a thing as bad publicity. There is always good publicity, because now people got eyeballs on this thing. And because Daniel Cormier willingly or unwillingly interjected himself into this conversation, you know, with John Jones, because he's his biggest nemesis, eventually when that fight happens, it's going to make it even bigger. So everybody is seeing dollar signs on this one. John Jones, the UFC, Dana White, even Daniel Cormier, because he's a smart man. And he knows, I think he's sincere of his freaking protest and the way he feels about the whole situation, he knows that planting the seed for a fight of the future with John Jones is going to be very, very lucrative for him in the end.
Pammy, you got any thoughts here? I mean, we know your thoughts on Cormier. We know, you know, just to update, I saw a Twitter post that Brock Lesnar has officially announced his retirement, so he won't be coming back to the UFC, correct?
Oh,
so
yes.
That fight is off the table.
Darn it.
So, I mean, we have to, as I said originally, that fight's not going to happen. So we have to consider moving forward that Daniel Cormier is going to have to fight someone. And, I mean, if John Jones wins this fight, he's probably the best person for it, no?
Yeah, I mean, if he wins, yeah, if he wins. But then you know what, he's just so what are the chances of him, you know, popping again? You know, what once they take that, you know, the test.
Well, apparently,
you know,
I just have no faith in him.
I have no faith in him.
Right.
I think he's a human being. I think he's a cheat. And
hang on, let Pam speak. Let Pam speak. Just let Pam speak real quick, and then we can respond.
I'm just saying, if you look at the pattern, there's a pattern here.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I have no opinion, because it's a pattern, and I'll let it play out the way it does.
Okay, and Marco, I mean, we kind of heard an explanation, and Tony, I want to get you in this again, because we kind of have heard a full explanation, right, Marco, from Jeff Nowinski. You heard on the Luke Thomas show that scientists are kind of proving the fact that, you know, probably Jones didn't cheat. What you got, Marco?
I was agreeing with Van that at this point, nobody has faith on John Jones. The guy has fought so many times, that it's very, very difficult for the hardcore, because we're the ones paying attention, to have any faith on John Jones. My opinion on this, regardless of how I feel about John Jones, are about the facts. You know, Andy Foster himself said it. Christian Mizzulli, you know, the head of the ABC commission, himself said it. And then, you know, we got these other freaking scientists that, you know, are going to work for John Jones when they don't have to. So that is why I'm divorcing myself of my feelings about the whole situation regarding John Jones being a fuck-up, because John Jones is a fuck-up. But in this one particular one, I had to listen to what they're presenting me as evidence. Now, if it happens that we get this fight with freaking Daniel Cormier and this becomes a recurring issue, even me, I'm going to be like, okay, come on, man. At one point, they're going to have to, like, show me hard evidence. Right now, I'm believing the scientists. I'm believing Andy Foster. I'm believing Christian Mizzulli. I'm believing all these people. But at one point, you know, you have to come clean and show me all the evidence up front.
What scientists, guys? We're talking about one guy whose last name they couldn't pronounce? Really? That's
what they say.
Let's put
Let
up the
Tony
facts.
Speak.
The facts are that they're talking about one guy. Fact two, Jeff Nowinski today, more than 12 times, says he's not an expert. Not that he's not a scientist, that he's not an expert. 12 times. Fact number three, Chandler Jones, who, by the way, is related to John Jones, tested hot for PEDs and was suspended by the NFL.
Yep.
Fact number four, because we only go by facts, right, Marco? Fact number four, Arthur Jones, who's the brother of Chandler Jones, who's the brother of John Jones, suspended by the NFL for PEDs. Yet, nobody knows how it got there. Nobody knows anything. Jeff Nowitzki, who went through the garbage of Lance Armstrong and the garbage of Balco, is not an expert on PEDs. He said that 12 times today on Joe Rogan. 12 times he said he's not an expert. Listen, if it smells like a duck, it walks like a duck, it looks like a duck, Pam, what is it?
It's a duck. It's a pinchy duck.
Let me give you another fact. Tony has more facts to give us. Tony, go ahead. Pam, why don't you go ahead and give us your fact?
Hold on, I pressed mute.
Hang on, I pressed mute. We do know this, by the way, guys. Joe Rogan says he's not an expert. Joe Rogan has repeatedly said that honestly, he said this, and I love Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has repeatedly said, and you know I listen to Joe Rogan all the time, that if he was to test in the USADA pool, his test would bubble up so fast that it would blow up the thermometer. You know, like the cartoon, like, boop, 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 boop. Right? He said that how many times? So he knows a little bit about PEDs, but everyone's defending John Jones. Let's think about this. July 17, 2017. That was nearly a year and a half ago, right? He tested
almost
hot
to the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yet this continues to, according to what Jeff Nowitzki, who's not an expert, keep in mind, he's busted how many people, but he's not an expert, right? According to Jeff Nowitzki, this comes and goes and comes and goes. And then how come no one else has tested hot like this, guys?
Well, yeah, that was my question. Why is it always the one same guy every time? You know, come on, really?
Yeah, okay, guys. So, look, we're nearly 40 minutes deep into the show, and we can argue one way or another with each other, you know, whether we want to take John Jones's word, or we want to take the UFC's word, or we want to take, you know, the one scientist that is putting his word on the line, as you mentioned, DJ Tony. And I know you have more points that you would like to bring up. However, we can't do that because I need to actually get some picks out of this show. Look, this is a longstanding thing that we've been talking about on this show. Yes, it is odd that John Jones keeps coming up testing hot. Yes, it is odd that John Jones keeps getting off with his testing hot for whatever, you know, banned substances. It doesn't necessarily mean steroids. In the case of the dick pills, I would assume that's more of a steroid. This is, you know, an old steroid. So have we advanced enough that we can somehow mask this older steroid, which has been around since, as I believe they stated, since the 60s, the East Germans were using it, and they developed it to use in their athletes. Now, none of us on this particular show have any scientific background. We can only give our point of view. And the fight is still going on, and it's not going on, and it's an original location. And this is a really good fight card, guys. You know, no one is paying attention to the fact that this is a really good fight card. And we've mentioned that the main event, yeah, we've been talking about it, but the co-main event, as you guys have been saying, is Cyborg against Nunes. And it's the 145 champ against the 135-pound champ. They're both from Brazil. Your girl, Pam from North Carolina, hates it because they're both her countrymen. But, of course, we go down the card. We've got Mendez on this card. Sorry. I wasn't trying to be sexist at all there. I apologize.
That should have been the main card. I mean, the main
event.
Well,
and especially right now, right? Especially after this controversy, maybe we could have promoted the ladies to the main event. I agree with you, Pam. I think that's a valid point of view. However, I think that the traction that these two guys are making is is outperforming what they thought it would. And again, I want to say I do believe that all of this is a promotional tool. They're playing up on it. The Empire, as we know, likes to do what the Empire does. And I just think that they're here right now and they're getting it done. So let's move to this main event, ladies and gentlemen, while we can, because we need to get this done with 20 minutes left in the show. Everybody's favorite boy, John Jones. Oh, thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing that music. Number one, John Jones.
That was not me. I didn't touch it. That's not me.
I was giving you the credit. I cued it. I was giving you the credit. Jeez, my bad. Goodness gracious. Thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing the music. Number one, John Bones Jones, fighting out of the United States of America, 23-1-0 against number two, Alexander the Muller Gustafsson. And let me go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, and give you the odds. And these odds are coming at you from bestfightodds.com. Alexander Gustafsson at a plus 254, John Jones at a minus 265. Marco, in the main event here, what have you got, Marco?
Okay, it's shenanigans aside, you know, this is for the light heavyweight champion. That's for DC, because, you know, he never really lost. He just had to, quote-unquote, backache, but whatever.
But neither did John.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's
technically
true. So, this is a fantastic fight, you know, like all the shenanigans aside, we've been waiting for this fight for 5 years. The first fight was amazing. We're led to believe that John Jones freaking didn't really train for his first fight and still pull it off. I don't believe that is the case. I think he just underestimated freaking Gustafsson. I don't think this is going to be the case. A lot of people say, oh, John Jones hasn't fought in over a year since July of last year. Well, Gustafsson hasn't fought since March of last year. So Gustafsson got even more ring rust than freaking John Jones. And he's coming out of an injury, not out of a suspension. I don't think that plays out well for Gustafsson. I mean, yes, he looked fantastic against Teixeira, and that was a while ago. But the fact of the matter is that when it comes to, you know, the top of the elite, you know, people like Rambo, DC, and John Jones, he just can't get over the hump. He will give you an honest fight. He will be there giving you 110%. But I think he's just one tip below on John Jones. And John Jones is, you know, for whatever you want to think about the guy, he's a special talent. He's probably had the best fighting IQ of any fighter up there, not named Dominic Cruz or Max Holloway, for that matter. I'm picking John Jones. I think it's going to be a classic again, but this time a little bit more dominating on John Jones' part, because he already has seen what freaking Gustafsson has. We know what he did to DC the second time around, and the second look, he knocked him out. But I think Gustafsson is going to be able to hang out, but he's going to be outclassed and dominated. I'm getting John Jones on the points, 49-46, 4-1, and new. Again, UFC light heavyweight champion, I think he gets a strip again for some fuck I think going to do with that.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay, thank you very much. So Marco going with Jones with the decision. Tony, you're next on the list here. What you got here in the main event, please?
Listen, as much as I like to talk, I never talk trash about John Jones. I just say it like it is because I have nothing against John Jones. But as much as we like to say John Jones is cheating, he doesn't have to. Let's be honest, right? He doesn't have to do anything. He can literally get out of bed and kick all our asses at the same time. And he can get out of bed and unfortunately beat Alexander Gustafsson. So, what the hell was that? So, third round, John Jones, TKO of some kind. John Jones is the best athlete that the UFC has ever seen, even with his chicken legs. So, John Jones, TKO, third round.
All right, Pam. Tony goes ahead and gives a shot to John Jones and his chicken legs. I mean, this is the second fight. And you know, if we are to believe Pam that you know, John Jones didn't train for the first fight, I mean, that was what, 8-7 years ago? I mean, 6 years ago? I mean, it was a long time ago. Yes, maybe as Marco mentioned. Thank you very much. See, Marco always comes through with the facts. I go with guesswork. Marco has the facts. That's why I always go to Marco. So Pam, Marco states that it's been 4 years since the last fight. And as Marco also stated, Gustafson's been off longer than Jones.
5 years.
What you got?
Yeah, well, Gustafson has been out. His last fight was 5/28, and Jones was 7/29. So he has been out longer. But keep in mind, when John Jones made his, I think it was like his second comeback after his first or second time he got stripped, he went 5 rounds with St. Preux with the broken arm, and it still went to decision. Yep. You know, keep that in mind. And I think maybe all this stuff that's been going on, I don't know, I think that's going to put a little bit of a fire in Gustav's butt, and I've got him winning by decision. I think it's going to be a motivator for him because, you know, I think it's going to be a motivator for everybody because everybody's pissed off that he did this, and he hasn't been, he or Dana have not offered any kind of apologies, any kind of anything. It's just, hey, sorry, you know, and I think that's bullshit. But I'm picking Gustafson by decision.
Okay, I got you down for that. Look, I agree that, you know, the fact that Gustafson has been off longer is kind of going to be detrimental to him. I think that John Jones, again, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, I believe, Gustafson was out due to injury. He wasn't out due to suspension. So John Jones has been getting better this whole time. He hasn't been rehabbing an injury, or maybe he has. We don't necessarily know. However, I do believe that John Jones will be the fresher fighter in there. I think that being flown on a private jet from Vegas to California will benefit him. Again, another thing I have to take into concern here, guys, not only with these particular fighters in the main event, but every single particular fighter on this card, they're taking an extra plane trip. And as we know, the Diaz brothers have been preaching this for years, that plane trips add on weight. They add up, it makes weight cuts harder. I'm not a big fan. So I'm going to go ahead and agree with Marco and Tony. I think I alluded to this earlier on in this year. I'm going to take Jones. I just think that he's the better fighter. He's more talented.
Sorry.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. I think Jones is a more talented fighter. I think he has Gus's number. I think the fact that this fight has been moved in mentally is messing with Gustafson, because who wants to move a fight from Nevada to California, know that this guy is popped for something, or that's the reason why it's moving. I just think Jones is going to have the advantage here. I think he's the better fighter anyways. I'm going to take him third round KO. Yeah, no one wants to say anything about that because that's quite controversial.
I thought you said in the beginning, hey, this isn't a dick sucking show, and all three of you guys are sucking dick right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, they both have dicks, Pam, so we can't go there. All right, Pammy, let's throw it to you quickly. I don't have the music in between, but Tony will cue it here. 3, 2, 1, cue the music. There it is. To the co-main event we go. Chris Cyborg, fighting out of Brazil. 20 wins, 1 loss. Sorry, 1 loss. And 1 no contest, 21-0 with 1 no contest. Sorry, against Amanda Nunes, the Lioness, again fighting out of Pam's home country, Brazil, 16-4-0. Pamela, what you got?
Okay, so we're talking about the fight, which, in my humble opinion, should actually be the main event because you do have champion versus champion. I mean, these wit ladies actually have a belt in hand, so they're not, you know, fighting for some paper titles. Anyway, so you got Amanda.
What?
Yeah.
Simpson.
Amanda versus Chris Cyborg. Man, I think this is going to be a really great fight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think people have been looking forward to this fight for a long time. Cyborg has only gone five rounds one time. Amanda has gone twice. I do think if you look at the fight resume, Amanda actually does have a better fight resume. Her last loss was in 2014. She's got 11 KOs, 3 subs, 2 decisions. Cyborg with his 17 KOs and 3 decisions. But you know what? For me, y'all know I'm a big Amanda fan. I like Chris Cyborg, but Amanda just keeps getting better and better. She's a boxer and great striker, great on her feet. She's quick. You know what? I've got I'm picking Amanda with the third round TKO.
You know what? Calling Amanda a boxer, mind you, there's a difference between having natural power and being a boxer. Calling Amanda Nunes, and it's not Nunes, by the way. That's KJ Nunes. It's Nunes. Finally get it right. It's not Nunes. It's Nunes.
Nunes,
it's not
right?
Nunes. Calling Amanda Nunes a boxer would be like calling Floyd Mayweather a mixed martial artist. Powerful because she hits like a Mack truck. She'll knock me out. There's no doubt about it. And Amanda Nunes is no joke. 30 years young, 16-4, a +220 underdog. That's not a big underdog, right? Moving up 10 pounds. But the thing is, like she said in today's press conference, she's actually naturally 145-er. When she first started fighting, she came in at 145. She's been cutting weight, not doing a very good job of cutting weight sometimes because it affects her. It affects almost everyone, right? Heck, listen, Chris Cyborg can't cut to 145. Saying that Amanda Nunes has a better fight record is saying that Chris Cyborg has a bad fight record because she has a lot of competition. She has no competition. Who is she going to fight? Pettis? I mean, who is she going to fight? I mean, if Chris Cyborg was really supposed to fight in her weight class, she'd be at 155. Proteus, can we get a list of how many female fighters? Proteus and I would not fight Chris Cyborg together.
No.
So let's face it, Chris Cyborg can't fight anyone a fighter. I think this is a lot closer fight than anyone's given a chance. I think Amanda Nunes has a chance, but it's going to be Chris Cyborg. And like I told Pam about a week ago, this is going to be Chris Cyborg and Amanda Nunes both finding out how hard they hit each other. And guess what's going to happen? They're both going to back up. It's going to be a boring five-round fight with Chris Cyborg winning, but it's going to be semi-close. Chris Cyborg, decision over Amanda Nunes.
Okay. All right, so let me quickly give you guys the odds because I forgot to, as Tony pointed out, Christine Justino coming at us at a -235 and Amanda Nunes at a +215. So odds and money coming in apparently on Nunes. Nunes. Ah.
Hey, can I ask something real quick? So what happens with in Vegas? Didn't that mess up all the betting that was going on in Vegas?
Yeah, I have no idea.
The venue? Oh, okay.
We don't have Showtime on right now, so I have no idea. I can't imagine. I think that I imagine they would just move the odds to that particular state. I don't think it would change the odds one way or another. But we'll let Marco weigh in on that later when he comes in to give his a particular prognostication for this fight. Listen. I appreciate the fact that Amanda Nunes, what are we saying, Tony? Come on, correct me so I don't say it wrong. I'm
Nunes. Nunes. Nunes.
Nunes.
Nunes.
She's right.
Okay.
It's Nunes,
okay.
Just Nunes.
All right. Yeah. So Amanda Nunes coming up and saying that she's a natural 145er. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I really do. And we saw what happened when Cyborg came up against, you know, a more natural 145 pounder in Holly Holm. She took her the distance. You know, she gave Justino the biggest fight she's ever had in her life. And I think Nunes. I think Nunes is going to be able to do the same thing. I think that not having to cut that weight, not having to cut, you know, what is it, almost 30 pounds that Cyborg has to cut, is going to be working out to her advantage. But I think that Cyborg is a much smarter fighter, and I think that, you know, big power coming at her is going to play into her hands, I'm going to be honest with you. And I think Cyborg's going to be able to get this one done. I mean, she has not in any in particular fight given us the idea that she's going to get into a fight that is not her own, that she cannot control. Even with Holly Holm trying to control the fight, Holly Holm still got hit a lot and got hit a lot with a lot of big power. Okay, so then you say, well, Nunes is going to be able to deliver that power on more occasion. Well, maybe, but I don't know if she's going to be able to move around like Holly Holm did, because that's not actually her game. As DJ Tony pointed out, you know, she's not necessarily a boxer. She has not had that training and that you know, many years of training like Holly Holm has in not only boxing but kickboxing. I'm going to take Cyborg. I think I'm going to take her early. I'm going to take her in the second round by KO. I think Amanda Nunes walks into something. Marco.
So, Amanda Nunes and Chris Cyborg, I'm hating on the fact that the ladies were not promoted to the main event or anything like that, because I don't think they pay money, and they know they're going to get paid a lot of money now because they're champions, they get pay-per-view points. So they're kind of happy, like deep down inside, because they're going to make bank if this thing does good in the pay-per-view. So good for them. We know that Cyborg has been beating on blowing up bantamweight for a long time. The last time, what is the background noise?
We're getting a little feedback.
The last time she faced a freaking true 145er was in Muay Thai, Jorina Bars, and she lost. But in MMA, she hasn't. You know, the last true freaking featherweight she faced was, I think, Marlos Kuhn. I'm back on the Strikeforce days, but that is passing for another day. They're both equally skilled, and when a skill match each other, then size takes over. We know what happened with Rory McDonald and Gegard Mousasi. Two very skillful fighters, the bigger fighter won. So as much as I hate to admit it, you know, I mean, Cyborg is super skilled. She's really, her boxing has gone leaps and bounds since she started working with Jason Perillo up there in California. So I'm going to pick up Cyborg. Nunes has demonstrated that he can go all five rounds, you know, survives with Shevchenko, are a proof of that. And I think she's going to be able to hand off, give Cyborg probably her toughest fight today. But I still think on the points, Cyborg is going to take it 3-2, 48-47. So she is still women's featherweight champion, Chris Cyborg.
Okay, so let me just recap real quickly. In the main event, Marco has John Jones via decision. Tony has John Jones via third round TKO. Pam has Gustafson decision. Proteus has John Jones third round KO. In the co-main event, okay, I'll get it, Tony. In the co-main event, Pam has Nunes third round TKO. Tony has Cyborg decision. Proteus has Cyborg second round KO. Marco, Cyborg decision. Let's go to everyone's favorite segment of the night, if we can, real quickly before we run out of time. Pam, spotlight fight of the night. Oh, Pam's on mute. Hang on, Pam. Spotlight fight of the night, Pam.
Okay, my initial fight was Douglas Silva de Andrade versus Peter Yan. I think it's going to be a pretty busy fight, lots of action. Yan has a win over one of the OVs, so that should make it a good fight. I'm picking Yan by decision, but Carlos Condit and Michael Chiesa is going to be a good one, too.
Okay, so you're taking spotlight of fight of the night,
Yan
by decision.
Yeah,
I got it. Yan by decision.
Yan.
Yan. Okay, perfect. Tony, spotlight fight of the night.
My spotlight fight of the night, you guys, and listen, I'm the first one to tell you.
Can we guess?
Looks. Yeah. I don't go off look. I'm not one to just pick a pretty face, Pam.
Okay, cue the music. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cue the music.
We're going to have to add it in because I don't have control of the board. But my spotlight fight is women's featherweight. We go. Megan Anderson, 28 years young, 8-3, a plus 125 underdog. She will fight a much shorter fighter, but still hot. Kat Zingano, 36 years young. I'm choosing Kat Zingano via decision. It's going to be a good fight.
All right, well.
Looking forward to this.
That's two decisions. And, of course, Kat Zingano moving up to 145 pounds to fight Megan Anderson as well. Marco, do you want to give us your spotlight fight of the night, please, brother?
Oh, man. Because Sam already mentioned it. So, you know what? I'm going to go on a limb and say BJ Penn versus Hall. I want to see if this becomes a jiu-jitsu match, what's going to happen. Because BJ Penn is jiu-jitsu legendary, and Hall is, you know, elite jiu-jitsu up there, you know, on the jiu-jitsu circuit. So I'm going to pick that as a sleeper, and because, you know, for the love of God, BJ Penn needs this win. I'm going to pick BJ Penn via submission.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, this was my spotlight fight of the night as well, Marco, and I was picking the same thing, but just because I'm, you know, want DJ Tony, I don't want to stop the music. It's okay. I want to keep it running right now. Jesus. Because I want to see Penn win as well. Listen, guys, I think there's a bunch of good fights on this particular main event. I think Pam is right saying that Carlos Conduit versus Michael Chiesa, and of course that's a joke also from the Joe Rogan podcast. Check it out if you want to. Which is going to be a great fight because that's a test for Conduit and that's a test for Chiesa as well, Michael Church, as we know. The bricklayer, of course, Ali Latifi is on this card, but I want to see what goes on with Andre Arlovsky. Ladies and gentlemen, I do. I think that this is kind of interesting in the fact that we've counted him out before, right? Marco, we've counted him out before, and he's going out against Walt Harris. Big test for him. I'm going to take Harris in this particular one because, oh, they only turned it back up. I'm going to take Harris in this one.
I haven't touched it. I don't have the board.
Okay. It sounded like it got turned up. My apologies. There it goes again. We are having a great night with the board. I'm telling you what. I'm going to turn it right off. How's that sound? I'm going to take Harris. I'm going to take him by second round KO once again, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I forgot Queen Latifah was on this one.
How did you forget that?
I forgot. Well, I know. Corey Anderson, Queen Latifah. I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah. It's going to be a good fight, right? It's going to be a good fight as well. So keep your guys peeled, guys. The main event of this card is actually probably worth your time if you wanted to buy it. If you don't want to, like Pam says, and you wanted to vote with your dollars, that's completely fine too. Pam. As we wait for the music to kick in here.
Bye, bye, bye.
All right, Tammy.
Yep, Bruce.
If you got a Twitter follower of the week, I thank you guys for bearing with us while we talked about this crap and we gave our picks. Oh, by the way, it was a three-way tie last week between Marco, myself, and Pam because Pam couldn't produce any evidence that she had any particular pick.
You know what?
Pick.
Well, I'll settle this. I have boobs. I win.
All right. Three-way tie.
You can mention your women.
Congratulations, everyone. We are on bye-bye-bye. We have to get going. I apologize. Pam, you got a Twitter follow?
Yep.
You got something?
You know
guilty
what?
Pleasure of the week? What you got?
I'm still watching my crazy 90-day fiancé, Trainwreck City. Trainwreck City. Oh, my God.
All right, Pammy. Thanks very much. Hey, Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you know what? And belated Merry Christmas, y'all.
And belated whatever it is that you have always mentioned on this show. Go ahead and mention it again.
Me?
Yeah, you celebrate what?
Oh, we do Yule at my house.
There you go. That's right. Oh, happy Yule.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thanks, Pam. See you later.
All right. Ciao, guys.
Love you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. You got a guilty pleasure. You got a Twitter follow of the week. What you got?
I have both, Proteus. My guilty pleasure of the week is when you guys are on YouTube. By the way, why did we let Pam go? Isn't she doing a close? But my guilty pleasure.
No, she's still here.
Jump on YouTube, Google Nightwish Reaction, and you're going to find one of the best bands, one of the best symphonic metal bands that nobody knows about in the U.S. Band is called Nightwish. And my Twitter follow of the week is their lead singer, gorgeous as hell, at Floor Like the Floor, at Floor Jansen, _. Beautiful woman, tall woman, very Megan Anderson-ish. And you guys are the greatest. Happy New Year. Love all you guys.
All right, guys. I'm not going to give you a Twitter follow of the week. I'm going to throw it to Marco because we only got like a minute left of this song. So, Marco, give us your Twitter follow of the week. Give us your guilty pleasure. And if you want to get us out of here, please do. Thank you.
So, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. I get the pleasure of being catching up with Tommy Toho, you know, on YouTube. The guy was away for a while. Somehow, the stock monetizing his stuff on YouTube, so he's doing a Patreon, so I'm supporting. He's super funny. Freaking five this weekend, follow me, Amaldo Marco, follow me, Sarah Prodigy, follow me, DJ Tony, follow me, Pantola Box, follow me, show, and another MMA guys, write on reviews. That's okay, we need the freaking reviews. Give us 5 stars, make a diva comment. iTunes, Stitcher, you know it. Fight this weekend in California, that's the matter. Watch it on pay-per-view. We're gonna meet you guys. Catch you guys next time. Enjoy the fight.
And just like that, Pammy.
Out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Bye, everybody. Have a good night.
Workout.